Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah Ta'ala's fadl, Allah's blessings, Allah's mercy, that Allah Ta'ala has allowed this small gathering of ours to get together for His dhikr, to remember Him, and Allah Ta'ala has made His dhikr the means to His qurb, His nearness. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, it draws the servant nearer to Allah, to his Lord. And the more a person does dhikr in abundance and regularly, then the connection between the servant and Allah, who is our Rabb, it strengthens and becomes stronger. And as a person gets more stronger as a dhakir, then he gets closer to Allah, closer to his Lord. Now, I've just presented to you the discussion that we've had before and now with regards to Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. And in the same way, the Hazrat have created a link, a connection, an association with the dhikr of Allah. And the elders have allowed dhikr to come into their lives. Historically, we see that the people who did that, who brought dhikr into their life and respected it and did it regularly and with care and caution and love, continue to do dhikr. Alhamdulillah, our objective is the same, that in this temporary world we're living in this dunya, and this ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and this gift that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that if a person implements it with ikhlas and sincerity, if a person remembers Allah with sincerity, Allah Ta'ala has, wherever Allah Ta'ala has made the dhikr of Allah the means to His qurb, nearness, then there Allah Ta'ala has also in parallel given many, many rewards for doing dhikr. And it's not just that dhikr will not have a reward. Dhikr of Allah draws the servant nearer to Allah, our Lord, and gives massive reward at the same time. As I've said before, that when the gathering of dhikr is established, and some people, they sit down in the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, and they remember Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the completion of that majlis, that gathering, that Allah Ta'ala says to the angels that I've forgiven the whole of this jama'ah, this group of people. In some rawaya, some narrations, the angels say, Allah, wallah, there was an individual in that gathering of dhikr. His objective was not to do dhikr. He didn't attend for dhikr. He didn't even know what was dhikr. He was just walking around and he stumbled upon the gathering and sat down. So what's the order with regards to that person? And then in the hadith it is stated, Allah Ta'ala replies to the angels that that jama'ah, that group of people who are doing dhikr, are so great and blessed in my eyes that whoever even sits or stumbles upon that gathering, I'll forgive him also. So this is a great ni'mah, great reward, and especially this dunya that we're living in the Western Hemisphere, and in the minds of a lot of people, we don't have the emphasis on these gatherings. And who knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with his mercy and blessing, He won't allow His deen to diminish or to end. The hadith will spread, tafaseer commentary will spread, Quran will spread, madaris, learning institutions, people wanting to implement the deen will spread, and the dhikr of Allah will spread as well. Everything will continue, everything will carry on. Allah Ta'ala has selected people to promote the different sectors of Islam, and whoever Allah Ta'ala wants to do the work of the deen, Allah Ta'ala makes that sort of ilm or knowledge overwhelm that person. For example, somebody likes Quran, wants to spread the Quran, Allah Ta'ala gives them the strength and capacity to teach and spread the Quran. And if somebody has the desire and passion for tabliq and propagation of deen, then Allah Ta'ala selects people for that role. And some people have the desire for madaris, to establish a learning institution, so Allah Ta'ala gives them the skills for that. And in the same way, Allah Ta'ala gives people the shauq and the desire to do His dhikr, and they all do dhikr, and everyone is doing the work of the deen. All of these fields are the work of the deen. Allah Ta'ala says, this is my deen, and we have a need for all of these, for every type of ilm and knowledge. It's not that Islam is empty of uloom, it is full with the blessings. And the same way, the dhikr of Allah. Now the point point here that we need to understand with regards to dhikr of Allah is that some people accept that dhikr is a good thing, a necessary action, and through dhikr we can attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness and qurban. How can we not accept this? This is Quran and Hadith. But one place, shuquq and criticism or doubts start to linger in people's minds, in their thoughts, in their words. And due to the criticism, or you could say the doubt, mild doubt, strong doubt, then people stop abruptly in doing the dhikr of Allah in the correct way. They stop from the asal tariqah and they say, okay, look, I do dhikr. Yes, I accept dhikr is important. But look here, in the Quran and the Hadith, I recite these myself. I do dhikr of Allah. They say, no, there's no doubt there is benefit in doing this dhikr. No, who says that this is not dhikr? Of course it is. But there's something missing it. They say that that's enough. Now look, I'm doing dhikr. I'm opening the pages of the Quran. Somebody started doing his own dhikr. The other person follows his own course or prescription or methodology. So everyone's following a different sort of methodology and prescription. And everybody considers what they're doing to be dhikr. But the objective of dhikr is not completed via these methods. It is not. First here, what we need to understand is that people, for example now, you start doing dhikr, they say, oh, I saw in the paper I should do dhikr, or in a kitab I read I should do recite this, or I saw somebody else doing this, or this is the wazifa for rizq, or for children to be obedient, or for the wife to be obedient, these are the prayers I need to implement, or for example, I'll do something for 40 days, and this is what we call the dhikr of Allah. Yes, and today is the norm that we have the internet, and people go to the internet. Oh, let me look up dhikr, or let's download this, or if I recite this, I'll be okay. And other people go beyond that. For example, especially the women, they are weak in this regard, with regards to following the prescription of dhikr and doing it in the right way, in the right amount. And nowadays, in this environment we're in, we have people who have established study circles. 10-15 sisters get together. Oh, it's a study circle. What kitab did you study? Which wazifa? Which method? And how are you completing and reading and discussing from which reference? They can and do this. And then in the same way, there are some Hazrat, some individuals, they see a pious person, he's reciting a kalima, they went to his gathering and they heard it, then they say, oh, we'll start saying this because it's thawab, isn't it? Reward. We're going to get reward. So those people, in the same way, they've heard those kalimat and they go and they start to recite or repeat those kalimat in their gathering, say, I'm doing dhikr, I've fulfilled the requirement for dhikr. Now this is a complete subject, and these points I'm making lead to the conclusion that there's no benefit in just following your own prescription of dhikr, because you cannot attain the objective of doing dhikr. Now the objective of doing dhikr is tazkiyah, purification of the soul, of the self, because inside us we have kibar upon kibar, upon pride upon pride. Or and the pious elders have said that even if somebody is given permission that you do this much dhikr a day and host it yourself, if a teacher says this, then there's a danger that we'll start thinking, oh, I'm a peer, I'm a sheikh. And it's obvious that when a person goes somewhere to teach dhikr, then obviously going back in the generations, it's the walis of Allah who's given the permission, the ijazah, and then people of the dunya will come and say, yeah, let's do dhikr and let's ask some questions, and then shaitan and nafs, they overwhelm that person, the teacher, and then let's start kissing his hands, the people, and he'll think, oh, I'm a peer, I'm better than the others, and he cuts himself off from the other people. So you have to be very careful here and very cautious. The elders in Islam have stated, the pious predecessors, that all these words that I'm discussing are what have passed through my experience of my life. The experience of my life. And we have also implemented, we did many wazifas and chilla. Let's recite this today. There was a friend of mine, Shasab. He said, oh, come on, let's stay awake in the night and we'll do this action, this ibadah. No, let's start fasting. So we started to fast. Then we started to read Quran. We read the Quran in big chunks within a short space of time. But we did not attain tazkiyah, purification of the heart, which is the asal objective, the proper objective of mankind. So when a person doesn't remember Allah and he's doing other things, then kibar increases in his heart, the desire for recognition and esteem. And this is a very important point when to understand that the whole of the situation with regards to our hereafter, all the deeds that we are implementing now, the struggle we're making now in the court of Allah, when a person will be presented, then the scale in which he will be measured will be the scale of ikhlas, sincerity. All the ibadat we're doing, everything we're doing, we're trying. If they are on the level of ikhlas, then the deeds will be accepted. If there's no ikhlas, then the deeds will be rejected. And ikhlas cannot come without tazkiyah, purification of the soul. But we don't consider this as an effort that we need to make. We don't consider this such, that having no ikhlas then the person cannot attain tazkiyah. And if we don't have tazkiyah, if a person is not serious and doesn't have tazkiyah, then that person is living a dangerous life, physically and spiritually. Now, so if we continue and understand that the true destination cannot be attained by just doing the same as what we're doing. Now, when I met my Shaykh, Hazrat Sahib, Rahmatullahi, that for example, I thought before I went, I have to do this wazifa, this lesson, recite this kalima, etc., etc. But when I met Hazrat, Hazrat taught me one thing, one word, Alhamdulillah, one word, no long story, nothing lengthy. Why? Because he had the tariqah that the Shaykh who's reciting this, I need to repeat this, Subhanallah. So when I started that prescription that Hazrat gave, then I attained everything that I need to attain. Everything. And all those things, first of all, that the rest of those I was doing reduced the fakur, worrying, stress reduced. And then the result with the Fadl of Allah came due to me following the guidance of my Shaykh. Literally. So the objective of saying what I'm saying is that whatever comes, whatever duty comes or action comes via Rasulullah, Allah and His Rasul, then we should implement it correctly. And the proper tariqah, method of tazkiyah, of dhikr, is that when somebody is a wali of Allah who is implementing sharia and tariqah, and due to the guidance we do dhikr, and his sign of the wali of Allah is that when you attend his gathering, then you won't hear anything about the dunya, materialism, world. You'll just hear Allah and things related to Allah, and in his majlis your ilm will increase, and from his words your ilm will increase, and when you depart from his majlis or leave the company, then you will feel, Alhamdulillah, from your heart, du'as will come out and the sins will be reducing and your desire to get close to Allah will increase. And these are the signs of a true majlis, of a real majlis, of a proper majlis. Then Allah Ta'ala says that when you attain a majlis like this, then consider that Allah Ta'ala has given you a great, great big reward, a very big reward. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give every second, doesn't he? That Allah Ta'ala may not give. Somebody Allah may give in America, somebody in London. It's not necessary that everything is in Mecca and Medina. Yes, or that in some Islamic country you will attain what you need. The whole world is created by Allah, and the whole world is Allah's, and in the whole world is the deen of Islam. This land is nobody. Nobody's. It's not owned by anybody. Who owns this land? Allah. The servants of Allah. So there are no restriction that Allah says to us that you'll only meet me there, or you'll only become a wali in Mecca or Madinatul Manawwara or in Bayt al-Maqaddis. No, this is not the case. Or, for example, there's another Islamic country and Allah will say that you come here and then I'll give you the friendship. And it's no. Allah Ta'ala says that wherever you have a desire and your heart is feeling that desire, Allah says, I will deliver the guidance to you there and then. There and then. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, Subhanallah, that ana 'inda dhanna 'abdi bi. That Allah Ta'ala says, the way I am with my servant in the way he thinks of me. So Allah Ta'ala says, whatever you think, that Allah, I need to get near to you, I'm seeking you, Allah, I'm trying to find you. Allah Ta'ala says, fine, my servant, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein, and I will prepare before the morning rising of the sun for you to be guided. And that insan, he doesn't know that, how am I going to get to this place? Or where is the wali of Allah? Where is the friend of Allah? And here Allah Ta'ala says, no, you don't need to worry, that I will deliver you there. And here then is where shaytan and nafs opposes us, that criticism, doubt and shaitan and nafs and desires, they stop the person and don't let him proceed forward. Because if that person is to proceed forward and eat that fruit and say, Hazrat, that I'm here, I'm present, tell me, explain to me, dhikr of Allah, that's it, that's all we need to do to go forward. But the shaitan, he doesn't allow us to move forward and request that association. No, shaitan makes us run away from that point. The rest we will try to do ourselves, chillah, spending time out there, etc. But we can't even do this thing, is to go to the wali of Allah, to the friend of Allah, the master of purification, and ask him that please teach me dhikr. But we'll say hundreds of times, I'm better than this person, I've got more than this, he hasn't got anything, why do I need this? And he's not an alim, he's not a scholar, he's not learned, I'm better, I've read more books, etc. No, just think one thing, that I paid attention to Allah, and here Allah has given to me what I need. So just sell yourself to the deen of Allah, because we have to practice for Allah, not for a man. Not for a man. We are practicing for Allah Ta'ala. We're not doing it for the sake of some human being. We're not prostrating to the Shaykh or the Peer or to a human being. He is a wasila. We are living in the world of means, the means to success. So if Allah Ta'ala wanted, that Allah wants direct ibadah, Allah Ta'ala put the Quran underneath our pillows and say, that read the Quran, it's close to you. Allah would not have sent any Nabis, because Allah knows everything. But Allah Ta'ala has created the sabab, the means. In every qawm, a Nabi was sent, a kitab was given, and the Nabi came, Rasulullah came and explained and and gave guidance. Now, for example, we see around here, the people who don't believe in Allah, does it take long? Within a second, everyone could be prostrating wherever we are. Allah Ta'ala, if Allah Ta'ala wants it to happen, everyone can bring iman. But we are following the system of Allah, which behind which there is wisdom and hikmah. Allah Ta'ala has made the rules and the laws with regards to this. So the point, again, is that when an individual with this tariqah obtains the dhikr of Allah, then the benefits of that come out from him. Tazkiyah starts, the strength of iman increases, the attraction to sin reduces, and contentment and peace increases. And the person who's stuck with the dunya, then he starts to forget the dunya, and he saves himself from haram, corrects his eyesight, his gaze, and his tongue, and useless use of the tongue. And as the person does more dhikr, the nur of Allah increases, and the person comes onto a track of peace and blessings. And all of this, as the Quran explained to us this? Yes, the Quran has told us everything. There is there any word here that, for example, it's not the sense that I'm selling something which is of waste and not used to anybody. You know, people, for example, they're not going to throw it into the drain. They say, oh, take it. We're talking about Quran and Hadith, that this is a very good path for the person, very good path. And it's proven that the dhikr of Allah that is attained, taught by a wali of Allah to the student, then that student, he will be regular and consistent, ongoing. And the person who does chilla himself and does the wazifas himself and sneezes, etc., alhamdulillah, there's no doubt that the rewards will be there. But the benefit is that we follow the guidance that the teacher gives, subhanAllah. So we're not getting the benefit if we don't do dhikr under the shadow and guidance of a teacher, a wali, a sheikh, a friend of Allah. Why? Because everything, for example, if will you get from the wali of Allah? In the company, for example, a doctor investigates, analyzes, you have to have two tablets in the morning, 10, two in the afternoon. So Allah Ta'ala makes them the doctors of the ruh. And Allah Ta'ala has given them strength through this ilm. Allah Ta'ala has given them understanding. And in their qulub, Allah Ta'ala has instilled that just like the doctor looks at the pulse, then they look at the face of the patient, they see that what is the illness this person's got and how should we correct him. Subhanallah. And Allah Ta'ala assists in this, that this is my servant, I want to correct him. So Allah Ta'ala then, just like I'm speaking, it's not me speaking, Allah Ta'ala is making me speak and allowing me to speak the subject matter. Now I don't know, Allah knows best how many people benefit. I don't know how many people are listening to what I'm saying, who am I explaining to, who am I telling, who am I informing, I don't know. It's not my subject, it's not my business, this is not my subject. I don't know who's coming, who's not going, who am I speaking on behalf of, I'm just speaking. Whatever's coming to my mind, I'm explaining to you. Subhanallah. You are here, and there will be many thousands of others who will be listening around the world and who will listen, and thousands, men and women, sisters, brothers, and they're listening. And tomorrow morning, the phone call comes, the hazard, the bayan you gave, this was for me. I will say, I don't even know you. And many times this happens every day, a phone call, a letter, hazard, your bayan of yesterday totally was like, I was the one who needed to learn and obtain from this bayan. It was me who was being spoken about. But Allah Ta'ala is the one who explains. Because you had a desire in your heart, Allah Ta'ala wanted to deliver a message to you about that problem or that issue or that question you had, and then the benefit will come into your life. The benefit will come. So now, this point that I'm requesting to you or presenting to you, and I'm requesting that the tariqah to attain Allah's nearness in this world, in this temporary world that we're living in, is very easy to attain Allah's nearness, and it's very difficult nowadays, we think, to attain Allah's nearness. So much nafs and deception and ditches, and that is very difficult for a person to be brought up correctly according to the deen. This is an ajeeb and unique generation we're passing through, and the games and the tricks of shaitan and nafs plays games with the individual that he doesn't allow Allah's nearness to come to that person. Shaitan and nafs, they don't want that nearness to come. But Allah Ta'ala has given an ahsan tariqah, that go to the wali of Allah and do the dhikr of Allah in his company, and I will allow you to surpass all of the peaks. All of the peaks. So is this hard, my friends, in this amal, in practicing this? Is it difficult? So it's those people who have khawf, who have fear, and know that we have to go to our grave, I have to stand on the day of hashr, I will be asked, every sin will be weighed, the sin of the eyes, the sin of the hands, the sin of the stomach, and all the hadith that have been transmitted to us, that the people who do sin, this is the punishment. The person who commits this sin, this is the punishment. And the punishment for lying. And the person who's greedy in the world, this is his punishment. The person who consumes haram or does the wrong action, everybody will be accounted for. So the person who is immersed in wrong, in sin, and Allah Ta'ala says that if you want to come out of the trap, then there's a very great method. Allah Ta'ala says, don't need to do any action. Correct your ikhlas and your niyyah that Allah want to be correct. I want to be on the right path. And that's why I'm doing your dhikr. That's why I'm remembering remembering you. Oh, what a beautiful conclusion of peace that person will attain. And I swear by Allah, I'm telling you this, I say subhanAllah, and I swear by Allah, because I've experienced these things in my life. Don't do anything else, just take this, hold of this with conviction. Dhikr, through the person, the teacher who teaches dhikr, who has who's effective in teaching dhikr, and when you're content and happy with that person, there's compatibility. Say, this is my teacher, I wanted the teacher like this, but this teacher is enough for me. And at that point, a person should cease for a few seconds, listen, sami'na wa ata'na, and then listen and obey, and then you'll see the beautiful effects of the deen coming to your life. There was a villager, and he was, you know, like the nomads, the villagers who wander around from place to place. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was present one day, and the nomad, the villager came. And when the villa approached and he came to the company of the Prophet ﷺ, the villager said that, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, are you the Prophet of Allah?" And Nabi ﷺ said, "Yes, I am the Prophet of Allah." He said, "Okay, I am a disbeliever, I don't accept in your God." And Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Fine, if you are the Rasul of Allah, then I will become a Muslim." The villager said that, "If you are the Prophet of Allah, but on one condition, that you need to show me a dream, a miracle in a dream." And he started to smile or laugh. Then the Prophet ﷺ smiled and said, "What do you want to see? What shall I show to you?" And he said, "What I want to see is that you see that tree there, further away, call that tree to yourself." So it moves to yourself. Ajib request, ajib. That the man, "How can a tree uproot and come to us and listen to our order?" So he said that, "Bring the tree here. If it comes here on its own, then I will become a Muslim." Allah's Nabi ﷺ said, "Okay, will you become a Muslim?" He said, "Yes, I will." Then Rasulullah ﷺ said, "I won't call that tree. You go to that tree and say to that tree, go and say to that tree that Allah's Rasul is calling you. Allah's Rasul is calling you. I won't say this. You go and call him. You go and invite to the tree." So he said, "You want me to go and say that I am a disbeliever, I don't believe in this and that this will happen?" And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "I'm not telling you to believe, but just go to the tree and say that Allah's Rasul is calling you." He said, "Okay," because he had to see that miracle that he requested. Allah wanted this to occur. So he went walking to the tree, stood there. Now look here, scientifically in this day and age, a person thinks that, "What's he doing, this guy? He's standing next to the tree, speaking to a tree. The tree has no ears, no eyes, no senses. This is like an empty hole. And the birds, they are swaying on the top of the branches, and they are taking the nourishment. They have their eggs and they're living in their nests and etc. So who will speak to the trees above?" So he looked up, looked down, he said, "Tell me, O tree, the Prophet of Allah is calling you." Allahu Akbar. What was the effect of that? That when the tree received the message that Allah's Rasul is calling me, the tree became extremely happy, started to sway left and right, forward and backwards, and the leaves started to shake, all of them. Big point, Allah's Rasul is calling me. Allah's Rasul. So brothers, these are our hearts that have become hard. Our hearts have become hard, and these rewards and what we need to get from as reward is much more. So here, for example, Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala has given more understanding to the rocks and the nature and creation than our hearts. We are like, our hearts are like rocks and stone. So the tree swayed left and right, the tree, the leaves, the branches were moving, then it uprooted itself and it walked to the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and instilled its roots back into that. Then the Arab villager came, and Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there himself, and he looked towards the Arabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked towards the villager and said that, "Now go to the tree and speak to the tree. I won't say anything, that, and you say to the tree, 'Go back, go back.'" So the villager, the Arab, said, "Okay." He went and said, "Oh tree, Allah's Rasul has stated that you go back to your abode." That same time, the tree uprooted, walked, went back to the same place and instilled its roots into the earth and stood up firm and strong just like before this event. So the Arab came, the villager, the nomad, and said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, please teach me how to enter into the fold of Islam. I accept, believe that you are the true Prophet of Allah." So this is a hadith and a learning that we have obtained. So the shahireen, the poets, mashallah, have commented on this that I want to present to you, which is that if that man He was a non-believer. He wasn't a Muslim. If he stood his whole life and said to the tree that somebody is calling you, the tree would not move, would it? Would the tree move? Of course it wouldn't. So what was that power that made the tree sway left and right and moved? That the person who's replying, reciting the Quran, is a person who is a non-believer. Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't tell him, give him nasiha, to go and start to learn the Quran. So here the proof comes. The commentators have given a proof that this was the point, the scenario, where if a sheikh gives the dhikr of Allah to a student and says, talqeen, repeat this many times, then the effect of doing that dhikr is the same as if the Prophet of Allah said to the people that go and give this message to the tree. Then in reality, Allah's Nabi gave instruction and taught instructions to that person, so much effect in those statements that when he spoke, the sahabi, then the tree obeyed because there was effect in his words. So he stated, this is the reason why totally that a person does dhikr normally, it will be a normal dhikr, it won't be special dhikr, will it? Those same kalamat that you will recite every day, that you read or you know about them, you heard about them or you're aware of them, and when the friend of Allah gives you talqeen and tells you that recite this, you recite these kalamas, then his color and his form changes, the effect of his life changes, his fuyuz and barakat improve. When I went, and I went to my hazrat, my sheikh, before that there was a lot of wazifa, kalimat and Quran, and we did this a lot because we want to attain Allah's nearness. Hazrat, what did Hazrat say to me? My sheikh, my teacher. Hazrat said one thing to me. One thing. I said, Hazrat, what wazifa shall I do? What shall I recite? What dhikr shall I do? Hazrat said, oh, you want wazifa? You want dhikr? You want something to do? Then Hazrat said, okay, fine. So the latifa qal, the latifa on the heart, step number one, Hazrat said, that do the dhikr of Allah on your heart. And I said, anything else? And Hazrat said, oh, despite this, do you need anything more? That now 50 years and we're still practicing the same. And those who ask me, I explain the same to them. So is this something to ask about? And nowadays, whenever I mention this point, people say, oh, what else is there? What else can we do? So much desire we have in it to get trapped. Allah, servants of Allah, that one word of the Quran, you are succeeding. If this does not improve or change your life, if you don't attain, then speak, then complain. But we have the desire to do a lot. Just one word stated that Ism-e-Zat, Allah Ta'ala's name, allow this to come onto your heart and do maraqabah, morning, evening, walking, talking, up and down, sitting. Alhamdulillah, the finger of the dhikr has come onto the heart, then the heart became alive due to the dhikr. Subhanallah, all the barakat and fuyuz come into the person's life. Bi-idhnillah. Because Allah Ta'ala has made this system. Allah made this system. And the dhikr has come into that person's life. Didn't need to go anywhere. Didn't need to look at the kitabs or the books. That's it. Easy formula. That's it. So that day and this day will be so different. That day will be great. And where will the barakat come from? The amount, the quantity that has to be done, there's barakah in that. Now look here. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, many wazifas, Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, and alongside that, how much to do? 33 times, 33 times, 34 times, Tasbih Fatima. This is there, isn't it? We say, no, not 33. I'll do it 40 times. There will be reward. Yes, you will have the reward, but the explained format and method, that is the amount we need to do, and that's where the real 100% effect will take place. So when the walis of Allah prescribe a number of things to recite, they will tell you what to recite, how much to recite, when to recite, and within their guidance is everything, the barakat, the blessings, not forward, not backwards, 1%. For example, you have to recite this 111 times in the morning. If the sheikh says this, that's it, end of story. And if we say, oh, I want to do 15 times more, I'll get more thawab. No, you'll get less thawab. Less reward. So two things we learn here today. Two principles that we need to strengthen our yaqeen, alhamdulillah. And secondly, our niyyah should be correct. That everything that I'm doing, I'm not doing it to become a wali of Allah, or to become a khalifa, or a sheikh, or to get kashf or karamat, or to fly in the air. Just one reason I'm doing all of this, that I can rectify myself, and that I can purify myself inside, that my sins are removed, and Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with me. Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with me. This is the objective. This should be the niyyah of insan, of the human being. The path is very quick, my friends, but we've made it a bit hard for ourselves, a bit hard. And we made it so hard ourselves that, oh, no, I can't do this. Allah Ta'ala states that go to the wali of Allah, the friend of Allah, and especially the Naqshbandi silsila, the Naqshbandi order, alhamdulillah. All the silsilas are great and good, but the effect of the Naqshbandi silsila, why is that so great? Because it goes on one recitation of dhikr, which is the Ism-e-Dhat, Allah's name, standing, sitting, walking, talking, outside, inside. Allah Ta'ala gives the guidance through the sheikh. He continues to say Allah Allah and do dhikr of Allah, and success is attained in the hereafter. So we will have some experience, won't we? For example, before this, when you used to, for example, you didn't have a sheikh, and then after you had a sheikh and you followed the prescription that the sheikh gave, is there not an improvement? Of course there's an improvement, because this is the sunnah methodology. So it's the same as the Arab villager, that he had nafs, and he went and said the same words, and he had so much barakah that the tree started to walk. The tree started to walk due to the talqeen, the instruction of the sahabi, and the revision took place. So brothers, Allah Ta'ala may give us tawfiq, that in the right way we can understand this dunya, this world, because life is very short indeed, very short indeed, my friends. So we need to take hold of the right path, the honest path, bas, that's it. And the real thing is, as we have discussed, to do the dhikr of Allah, inshallah it's proven from the Quran and Hadith. And if your actions are proven, and you are not doing things that are against the Quran and Hadith, then totally you will not lose out. Today, nowadays, the protection for us today, and the protection of Iman, of Deen, of health, of saving ourselves from somebody who's not favorable, then same way to do it, the one way only, is to do the dhikr of Allah, is to remember Allah. Take hold of the dhikr of Allah with regularity, with consistency. But this does not mean that dhikr I'm telling you to do, that you leave everything else. No, totally not. Read Quran, recite, and do Umrah, Tabligh, and go on Hajj, and go out in the path of Allah. Do everything. But what is this point, this manner, that we do everything, but we need to do this in parallel. In parallel. Don't leave dhikr. Don't leave dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, if you have to go on Hajj, then don't leave my dhikr. Definitely do my dhikr. You're praying Salah, then in the morning, definitely do my dhikr. You're praying Jummah, then after Jummah, definitely do my dhikr. In every place in the Quran, Allah has mentioned this, hasn't he? Allah has mentioned this. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that, don't do this, don't do this. Do these actions, Allah says, but after that, do my dhikr. Don't forget me, Allah Ta'ala says. Do for me. That same way, your Hajj or Umrah, whatever we're doing, Allah Ta'ala says that this is for that person. This is the benefit. Allah Ta'ala has given a high grade ibadah of Salah, of prayer. That this is the high grade ibadah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And despite this, Allah Ta'ala says that do dhikr. After Salah, you should do dhikr. After Salah, we should do it. Even when we're doing worship actions, we need to do dhikr of Allah to make things accepted. That Allah Akbar, the pious predecessors have said that a person who can do the dhikr of Allah regularly, and it's proven that if he does dhikr after Salah, then due to the sadaqah of that dhikr, Allah accepts that Salah. Subhanallah. Accepts it. So insan goes on Hajj, and Allah says, do my dhikr, manasikakum. That do dhikr in every way you go during the Hajj. So the pious predecessors have said that Allah Ta'ala has given His grace and His mercy, that I will accept your whole Hajj due to the blessings of my dhikr. That dhikr is such an ibadah, it's accepted upon accepted. That you do after sleeping, waking up, or you can do wudu without wudu, in illness or due to riyah, or whichever condition you do this dhikr in, Allah says, I accept. And people then, they complain, oh, he was doing dhikr like this. Oh, he said he's going to succeed. But the angels will go back to Allah, because they are the CID investigators. They say, Allah, he was doing dhikr by showing off. And he said this, and what's the order to say that he was doing dhikr for somebody else? And the shaitan will keep on complaining. Allah will keep on saying, I've accepted. So what a beautiful ajeeb situation and scenario, tell me. And for example, if somebody says, now this is not correct, how can a person say this? They imagine the scale that Salah will be put into. Look at it. Take any ibadah, and do we know the scale that the ibadah will be placed into? Does Allah Ta'ala accept just like this? Allah Ta'ala, we make thousands of excuses, hundreds of excuses. For example, that if we don't do wudu, then Salah is not complete. So if we don't do dhikr, can our deen be accepted and be complete? Allah Ta'ala has put conditions on every ibadah. Has Allah Ta'ala just done this or not? So Allah Ta'ala says that I could accept everything through one medium. But Allah Ta'ala says, no, for dhikr, it is most beloved to me. I like this the most. And I say this in the Quran, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Allah says this in the Quran, أَلَا أُولَى. We say this, don't we? After every khutbah, at the end of every khutbah, we say this, don't we? So this is the action of dhikr, but there's no condition. There's no condition, Allah Ta'ala says. There's no precondition in this. It's easy, it's ala, great, lofty, and the best action to make us meet Allah. And it cleans the whole body, and it makes the qalb, the heart shine, and it removes the difficulties, and it makes all problems become easy, and it makes the heart feel peaceful and content. What is the action? The dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. Imagine this. So should we do dhikr? Should we start dhikr? Inshallah, yes. That's right. So now we have to learn dhikr, and those who have not learned dhikr is nothing to be ashamed about. The day and age of being ashamed have gone, isn't it? Okay, so a person used to be ashamed before, but this is regards to deen, Islam. And the Sahaba Ikram never was shy. Here was deen, learning the knowledge, subhanallah. So for example, a student would come to the teacher to learn ilm,
and to learn the deen and to learn ilm is the greatest ilm. What's there to be ashamed about there? He said, Hazrat, give me this. I said, what dhikr? Subhanallah. Then if you don't enjoy yourself, then tell me after that. So no fees, no precondition, nothing at all, nothing at all. And what have I said that? Have I said come with a sweets box and give it to me? Have I made any demands? Free of charge, out in my own time I will teach and explain. I don't say that make me your peer or my peer. I say no, one thing, become muzakir. That Allah Ta'ala will love you and you will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it, end of story. That's what we need to be. We need to be practical and take the dhikr. So will we learn dhikr, brothers? This is a promise? Okay, fine, let's start the dhikr. Should we do loud dhikr or should we do silent dhikr? You want to do jahir, loud dhikr? Okay, fine. Today we will do dhikr in the Chishtiya way.